So it's 4th of July weekend. It's a big weekend. People got big plans, I'm sure. Some of you did it yesterday. Some people are going to wait until Tuesday and do some big plans. Some of you are going to the pool. Some of you are staying home and you're saying, thank God for a day off, right? Friends, people will have cookouts. They'll watch fireworks. It's the time of year when we celebrate the adoption of freedom, July 4th, 1776. And it's interesting because sometimes we look at that word freedom, and as I said in my prayer, we think that we're free to do whatever we want, right? We have freedom of speech, so that means we can say whatever we want. Social media has really helped us in that, hasn't it? Right, that we have freedom to hurt people, or we have freedom to do whatever we need to do. But what's really interesting, I was looking this past week, what it means when somebody becomes a U.S. citizen of the United States. What do they commit to? And there's lots of things they commit to, but I want to share a few of the things. They say when they stand up, I will support and defend the constitutions and the law of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, that I will make this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. Now, isn't it interesting when we talk about the word freedom that when you become a citizen in this country, you have to say all these things that you will do, right? It's not carte blanche, right? It's not, well, I can be free to do whatever I want, right? You can't do certain things in certain places because they're against the law. So freedom is an interesting concept, right? It's an interesting thing that we have to think about how we live into it. It isn't unlike the people who followed God in the early part of the Bible, that when they came and they had freedom from Pharaoh, they were enslaved in Egypt, they came out of Egypt, and early on, they get these things, the Ten Commandments. And there are people who think that the Ten Commandments are really oppressive and they're rules, and some people say, I don't like Christianity because you have to follow so many rules, but the truth is, the Ten Commandments were designed to help people live in community together. Right, I've said this before, thou shalt not kill. That's helpful for all of us, right? It's a good thing. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's actually really helpful. That's the way we stay in community together. So we look at these rules, these Ten Commandments, and we think, well, they don't really lead to freedom. But the reality is, those early people were free. They were free to live their lives in a way that helped them connect with one another and help them be in community together. We've been in this series for the past 6 weeks. This is week 6, where we've been looking at these movies and we've been trying to see the intersections between faith in our everyday life. We've been trying to find the spaces where if we're watching a movie, we can say, I can see what that calls me to. I can hear God speaking through that. Maybe we see the spaces and the places when we're listening to a podcast or we're having a conversation. But the idea in this is that I'm hoping that church is not just a Sunday thing for any of us. That faith is not just a Sunday thing, but it's a part of our lives. So today we're going way back. We're going to the movie The Wizard of Oz. I hope you enjoyed your sing-along this morning as we did The Wizard of Oz together. We're going all the way back to The Wizard of Oz. Now, you may say, why The Wizard of Oz? Why the 4th of July? We'll get there. Give me just a minute. When I was a kid, The Wizard of Oz was one of my favorite movies. I remember one time back when television, you had to watch it when it was live. Some of you might remember that, right? You had to watch it as it came on. That there was a time when a presidential address came on during The Wizard of Oz. And to this day, I just don't like that president as much because they messed up The Wizard of Oz when I was watching it. But I loved that movie. And here's what I'm gonna do. I know Susan did a little walkthrough. I'm gonna walk you through a little bit of it because here's what I know. Some of you have never seen that movie because it terrifies you. Because there are scary flying monkeys, right? Because there is a witch that is scary. Some of you think it's the scariest movie in the world. I was never scared because I'm real tough. But that movie is a fascinating movie with a fascinating story. So I want to give you just a brief history. Tornado comes through Kansas. It rips up Dorothy's house and her dog Toto. They're whisked away into this magical place in the land of Oz. They follow the yellow brick road towards the Emerald City, and along the way, they meet a scarecrow. He comes to life that needs a brain, a tin man who's missing a heart, and a cowardly lion who wants courage. The wizard asks the group to bring him the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West to earn his help, because ultimately the reason that Dorothy is on this journey is she just wants to go back home. She was taken away from her land. Now, as a kid, I missed a really important part of this story. I just thought it was a great story. Isn't that fun? a great story, an exciting story. But what I miss is that Dorothy is a foreigner, right? She's a foreigner in an unknown land, and she didn't choose to go there. She ends up in this unknown land. In fact, one of the definitions of the word refugee is that there is some natural disaster that takes you away from your home and takes you to a new place. So Dorothy's a refugee. And I don't know if that was part of the goal of this story, but she's a refugee in a new land. This wasn't her home. She doesn't know the rules. She didn't know that she was supposed to do. She didn't know what she wasn't supposed to do. And the rules kept changing based on who was responding to her. Right? She thought this is the way she had to do it. Her house accidentally falls on the Wicked Witch of the East. Some people are really happy about this. Some people are really unhappy about this. And she lives in the dichotomy of those rules in this new land. She lives in that place where she doesn't know exactly what she's supposed to do. And yet she didn't realize by simply landing in this place, she has unleashed the anger of the Wicked Witch of the West. And I started thinking, this is 4th of July weekend. I wonder how many people come to this country and they're instantly shocked by the different rules. They're instantly shocked by what different people think they should do and say. They come to this land because they want freedom. I wonder how many people come to this place thinking that it's gonna give them a better life, and they quickly recognize that that's not what happens for them, right? They come and they think, this is the land of the free. It's the story that happens. And then they get here and it's not quite that simple. Now, friends, I'm not gonna spend time talking a lot about immigration today, because I know it's a really complex topic and it's not fair for me to cover something like that in 15 minutes. But what I wanna say is, Dorothy is this immigrant to this new land. And what she finds out is the same thing many folks who come to our country find out, that the rules are hard, that they change, that life can be incredibly challenging. I've talked with people for years and years and years about the reality of coming here, about the reality of living in this place. So I wanna let you know, I'm not talking about immigration, but I wanna talk specifically today about how we welcome and care for the foreigner. Why do I wanna talk about it? Because it's incredibly biblical. Jesus pushes on it real hard, but long before Jesus. Now I'm gonna take us back to Exodus chapter 23, and this is just a few chapters after these people who have come out of Egypt received the Ten Commandments. We're only a little bit later. And you might say, why are they getting new rules here? Let's look at what they've come to understand what their new freedom looks like. It says, do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. Do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twists the words of the innocent. Do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. So you think, oh my goodness, these poor people, right? They just got all these rules. They got the Ten Commandments, and here it is, another set of rules, another set of things. I don't actually think this is another set of rules. I think this is clarification, right? I think this is where they're being told, this is how you live out all of those things. This is what happens in this practical scenario. This is what you do. This is how you love your neighbor. Help them. Don't just let their ox go if it's wrong. Even if you're mad at them, that's a terrible thing to do, to just let their ox run off. Care for the poor. Don't accept bribes. Do what is right, and don't oppress the foreigner. The scripture says, because you know what that's like. You know what that was like. It's saying, hey, don't forget when you were in Egypt and you were oppressed because you weren't an Egyptian. Don't forget what it was like for you to live there. Boy, that's a really interesting way to end this section. Do all these things, but if we're gonna sum it up at the end, don't oppress the foreigner. That could be said to this entire nation. Do you recognize that outside of Native Americans that we are all foreigners in this land? All of us. All of us. We don't fear England today, but man, we are in a place where we are free because of those who gave of themselves. But friends, we are all foreigners. Just like Dorothy, our ancestors were plopped into this land. Susan and I were recently, Susan's my wife, we were recently having a conversation with somebody in our family, and they had gotten Ancestry.com, which, by the way, I really want to do that. That seems so cool. And they were following their way all the way back. But my question was, they were like, and this is my great-grandfather. And I was like, yeah, but when did your people come? Right? Where did they come from? Because the truth is, almost every single one of us in this room can do that work, and we're going to find that we didn't originally come from here, that we're people that were welcomed, people that were invited into this land. And that's the story that Dorothy has. We, like the Israelites, like Dorothy, were once foreigners in this new land. What are we supposed to do? How are we to make sure that the foreigner is not oppressed? Because that does not seem optional in this passage. What are we supposed to do? Over and over again throughout Scripture, we get it. I'm going to give you two more places. Leviticus 19. Leviticus is the place of laws. It says, when a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not wrong him. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as one of your citizens. You shall love them as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? You should love the stranger. You should care for the stranger. What about Jesus? You say, yeah, but what did Jesus say? Oh, Jesus had a lot to say. He had a lot to say. I'm going to take you to Matthew 25, where he tells them this story. And they ask, you know, they say, it's a parable about a king's servants. And they say, Jesus, when did we do all these things for you? He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. See, Jesus ups the game. He says, when you welcome and care for the immigrant, when you welcome and care for the foreigner, you're doing it for me. Boy, that changes things, doesn't it? What if we saw every single person who didn't look like maybe us, who didn't speak the way we spoke, who didn't talk the way we talk, as Jesus? Would it change the way we interact? Would it change the way we love? Would it change the way that we engage? See, Dorothy meets these three people along the road, the scarecrow, the tin man, the cowardly lion. It's these three people that ultimately not only sing great songs with her, not only teach her how to dance, but they're the ones that ultimately make her feel welcome. Right? They even felt like strangers in their own land, right? They felt off to the sides, but they meet Dorothy and they journey with her. They walk with her. They sing common songs together. They not only tell her which direction to go, but they accompany her to the place. They make her feel like they too can gain something by being together. Friends, what if we as the church decided to take this welcoming the stranger thing really seriously? What if we decided we were going to up the game a little bit? And now listen, we do some really great things. We do ESL here. Do you know that? We do ESL. And that's a great way to help educate people in English, which can be a resource to them. But I was talking just a couple of weeks ago to Kathy, who's our director of Serve. And Kathy said, you know what? One of the things I would love for our church to start doing is helping people in citizenship classes. And I would love to see us help people pass the test so that they can take that step to getting more resources, to getting jobs, to getting the things that they need, because that's a barrier for a lot of people. What if our church said, we're going to sign up for that? If our church said, we're going to help people along that journey, because Jesus would say, yeah, that's what I want you to do. So if that's interesting to you, I want you to send Kathy an email, send me an email, say, hey, I'd be interested in that. I want to do that because that might make a difference in somebody's life. So that's something that we could do as a collective community. But what could you do? What could you do in your neighborhood? I would be shocked if every single person in your entire neighborhood, meaning your big community, looked exactly like you. I'd be shocked. We're in Northern Virginia. I'd be surprised if everybody talked the way you talked. If every kid that your kid went to school with looked like your kid. If every single person in your workplace was just like you. What would it look like if we greeted our neighbor, if we loved them, if we engaged them, if we tried to learn about their culture rather than simply imposing ours? What would that look like? What would it look like if you greeted the new neighbor who moved into your neighborhood? Or what would it look like if you greeted the neighbor who's lived in your neighborhood for the past 10 years, but you determined a long time ago that you have nothing in common, so you don't talk to them? What would that look like? I remember a seminary professor was talking one time to me. Seminary is the school that you go to be a pastor. And she said, we had a neighborhood one time that I was living in. She happened to be an African American in a predominantly white neighborhood. So we had a neighborhood and this Hindu family moved in. And she said, we all talked and we said we wanted to welcome the Hindu family. We were excited about them moving into our community. She said, so we decided to throw an ice cream party. We thought, wouldn't that be awesome? And she said, we threw this ice cream party and we invited them and they never showed up. And she said, we went to them and we said, why didn't you come? And they said, oh, we don't like ice cream. Because nobody asked them. Right? Nobody said, what is something that we can learn from you? Nobody said, is there something that you would like to participate in? They just said, come to this ice cream social. And they didn't know it was for them. They didn't know it was supposed to be for them. And I remember the professor saying, what if instead of telling everybody, come and be exactly part of my culture, we tried to learn about theirs? How might that welcome the stranger? How are our own cultural norms, our everyday cultural norms, oppressing others? She would say, in order to truly welcome the stranger, you have to learn their story. So how are we called to listen to the story of somebody else in our community? If you will, to use the language of the scripture, the foreigner who's been placed in our community or our land. We have to learn to love the stranger enough to learn more about them. And we have to love them even without knowing them, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. Near the end of the movie, Dorothy finds that she's had the capacity to go home the whole time. She's had that capacity. All she had to do was click her heels together 3 times and say, there's no place like home. I wonder how many people once getting to the U.S. say, I wish I could just click my heels and go back. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't as free as I could have been. I wonder how many people end up working in places where they're yelled at for the way that they speak or someone's inability to understand them. I wonder how many kids enter a new school and are chastised because they don't know the rules either by the other kids or by the teachers. I wonder. And I wonder what we could do. Because friends, Jesus calls us to love the stranger, to love the foreigner, to engage them. It actually goes way back to the beginning, long before Jesus says it. But Jesus's call to love our neighbor includes the neighbor who just moved here. Now, I'm not gonna give you 3 things to do today. I'm not gonna give you 3 letters that all match, tell you to go do those things. I'm gonna do what Jesus did, and I'm gonna tell you to love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And that understanding of neighbor was much larger than the person who lived right next door to you. And love was greater than simply giving somebody a wave as you walk by. Love them, learn their stories.